Hello, and welcome to How Do You Like Me Now, the podcast where we go back and relive the golden years of kids' TV. I'm Will. With me, as always, is Liz. Hello, Liz.
Hi there, Will. Nice to see you.
Good to see you too. How's it going?
It's going good with me. Yeah. Loving it.
Good.
Big up the... No, I don't know. I haven't got anything to big
up. You're loving it. You're loving it like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's how much I'm loving it.
Yeah, fair enough.
So what? Much I could be in a McDonald's ad.
That's a good degree of loving it. Well, I'm just about keeping it together.
Oh, dear. Okay. Well, sorry that my upturn has resulted in a downturn for you.
Not that you asked how I was. But,
oh, no, I didn't. No. How are you?
Well, I'm just about keeping it together.
Oh, dear.
I mean, we were just, before we were watching this, one of those Christmas movie retrospectives came on. It played some clips of It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
And I'm not ready for that, Liz. We watched It's a Wonderful Life for the first time last year. And, yeah. I mean, I bawled my eyes out and... I'll be honest, started happening again just at some of the clips of some of the key scenes.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because it's one of those films that I felt like I never got around to watching it, and I was worried that I've seen so many like spoofs of it, heard the storyline, so many bits of dialogue that you hear over and over. I was worried that therefore when I watched it, it would have no effect on me because I'd feel like I'd seen all that. Absolutely not true. If you haven't seen it, it's a doozy.
Oh, it cuts you deep, man.
It does, doesn't it? It's so sentimental, but it worked on me. Yeah. We both bawled.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, because, yeah, I think Gary, I obviously, yeah, known the plot and known that Clarence Oddbody is the angel and, you know, and known that... And seeing that scene where he runs through the snow at the end down the street saying Merry Christmas to all the everything of Bedford Falls. You know, Merry Christmas, y'all, savings and loan. And, you know, just seeing that, you think, it's just a thing. And then, but when you actually watch it.
When you watch it.
Oh. So that's where I am right now.
Dear.
Obviously, it's been a rough week and that's a capper on it right now.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. All right, come on. Got to get your head in the game.
Okay.
Because we're back for a pitch episode.
We are back for a pitch episode. I mean... I do want to talk about one more thing, though, before we get to what our pitches are going to be.
Oh, you don't want to go straight into the pitch.
No, you don't want to go straight into it. This week, I had a conversation with my dad. Because, you know, I catch up with my dad fairly often. And, you know, interesting project coming up. I'm going to be doing something which he's running someone else at home. So it's all very hush-hush at the moment. But basically, I'm going to be working on something which I'm very excited about, which would be good. But my dad... You know, we got talking about this and he sort of said, oh, well, did you get the email I sent? I said, no, I hadn't had it through. He said, okay, I'll resend it. Did you get the other one I sent you about the guy in Gloucester Hospital? I went, no. And he said, oh, well, the one they had to call the bomb squad for. And I was like, no. And so he said, oh, okay, I'll send it to you. So my dad sent me this story.
I love when parents send you things. My dad's really got into... sending reels on Instagram. He's big into reels. I don't think anybody's really into reels.
I love your dad's on Instagram.
My dad, he's taken a tentative foot into the world of social media in order to look at reels on Instagram. And he sends them to me. A lot of them are of comical dogs.
Okay.
Dogs with a comical turn.
It's a niche thing your dad's got though on those.
Yeah, yeah. He's not very social media savvy.
No, he's not like championing the viral sensations.
No. What is it that your dad has sent you?
Well, I mean the headline. It's a story from ITV News, from the West Country, and the headline is "Bomb Squad Called to Gloucester Hospital After Man Got Artillery Shell Stuck in Rectum." Now, if he'd sent this to me earlier in the year, I'd assume this was an April Fool's story.
I thought you were going to say, if he'd sent it to my work email, I wouldn't have received it because the keywords would have caught rectum and it would have been thrown out.
I don't give people my work email for that very reason. You know, I got bad enough my last with people sending this kind of stuff internally.
Don't say internally.
Hey! No, so I shall read this story to you.
Read it to me, then.
The bomb squad had to be called to a hospital in Gloucester after a man got an artillery shell stuck inside him. The army sent an explosive ordnance disposal team to Gloucestershire Royal Infirmary yesterday morning after a patient told staff he had the ammunition stuck in his bottom. Now, I really want to know. I really wish I could be flying the wall during that conversation. You come up to main reception. Could you help me? I appear to have some World War II ammunition inside my bottom.
Well, you don't lead with that for starters, right? I'm not saying I've ever done this, but you go up to and you say, I have something lodged in my arsehole.
I think you just say lodged.
Lodged.
I think you can just say lodged.
Right.
I'm speaking clearly. It's lodged. You can guess where.
No, well, a man, yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, you just say you have something lodged. Then they ask you what it is, right? And it's at that point you have to declare that it's live ammunition. I don't know what everybody else is feeling about this story, but my first instinct is mad respect, right? That you are that committed to the wank that you will go with something which is possibly fatal. I mean, that's a danger wank to be both feared and respected. I mean,
that's a level of commitment to one's orgasm that, you know, you've got to admire. You've got to take your hat off to.
You've got to think that the danger was part of the thrill, haven't you?
Absolutely.
Because otherwise, you could go with something from, you know, the kitchen.
Yeah, well, it is understood he told staff he fell on the World War II shell.
They always say that. I'm not a doctor, but I have been told they always say that.
Yes. I mean, I do want to. The thing is, shell.
You can't fall on. No. So you have to be bare-arsed.
Yep.
Right? And fall on it. Now, if you fall on something bare-arsed, it's not going to. You have to be a very accurate fall.
That's like
very accurate.
That's like trying to hit a dartboard with your eyes closed.
Yeah.
Over your shoulder.
Over your shoulder.
That's what it is, right? That's the level of accuracy we're talking about. If you can do it on command, then that's incredible. But
amazing.
More times than not, you know, you'll end up double top. You know, when you're going for the bull.
Groan.
But yeah, Gloucestershire Police confirmed. I love this as well. Gloucestershire Police confirmed its officers attended the hospital after a report that a patient had presented with ammunition in his rectum.
Mm-hmm.
Because the police have to use that kind of very specific language when it comes to a report. You know, a patient presented with ammunition. Not man turned up with a shell up his ass.
Sorry, I've never played Call of Duty. What is it that we're talking about here?
Well, this is the thing I'm not sure. It's not clear from the story, but they're saying a shell.
A shell.
So in my mind, I'm immediately thinking like a tank shell, you know, like a
the
you
thing
know,
that you
like
are
a 60 millimeter howitzer shell.
The thing that you are gesturing with your hand should not go in a person.
I mean, it's tapered,
right?
You know, they still taper them to. It's not like a Pringles can solid. It's like a Pringles can with like a tapered point on it. That's kind of what I'm envisaging by shell.
I have to hope it was a lower caliber than that. I have to.
Amazing. I mean, that, you know, I really hope it was a high caliber. I mean, in my mind, it's a high caliber shell. That's what I'm thinking. It is like a tank shell. Because the other thing is, you've got to fall on it. But this is the thing, like, you know, the shells.
Just to be clear, nobody fell on anything. He put that up there for a wank. He put that up there to pleasure himself.
But was it a case of just that short on supplies that you think, I need something? What have I got lying around the house?
Right, listen, I'm not telling you how I know this, but I don't think that's how it starts.
Okay.
I think how it starts is you look at something, you go, that'd go up my arsehole. you don't like wander around and go, oh, I haven't got anything. I've got nothing here to put up my arsehole that isn't live ammunition. There's got nothing in. Didn't buy a cucumber this week, you know.
I got the alternative.
The end of my hairbrush, too blunt. No, there's nothing here. There's nothing here that will go up my arsehole apart from a live round. That's not how it starts. How it starts is you look at something and go, yep, I could wank with that.
Oh. A spokesman for the force told ITV News the item had been removed prior to police arrival and the explosive ordnance disposal team were contacted. I imagine that's at the patient's request they remove it before the bomb squad turn up. Because if you can imagine someone in one of those like padded suits, or better yet, the robot, going towards a guy bent over a table with a shell sticking out of his arse.
No, maybe they didn't ask. Maybe they didn't ask. So he was like, I've got something stuck in my arsehole, right?
Mm.
They took it out and then they go, mate, what is this? And he goes, oh, it's from World War II. It's, you know, it's a shell. And I'm like, this is deactivated, right? Well, I should imagine so.
I hope so.
I hope so. I just had it up the arse. And then they call the bomb squad.
Yeah, they attended and confirmed it was not live and therefore not a danger to the public.
Well, that's been disproved, hasn't it? Clearly it is a danger.
It's very much a danger. You definitely shouldn't store it standing upright, you know, at a place where someone could fall onto it. That's...
I don't know why. This reminds me of a story.
Mm.
And I'm not. I don't even know if I'm allowed to tell this story, to be honest with you, but I'm going to.
Okay.
Because I don't think anyone's going to sue me. But when I was working at a local council, right, I worked in the elections department, and we occasionally, because it was political and, you know, around the time of elections, you get a few people coming out of the woodwork with views which are, they are snooker loopy, all right?
Yep.
Really, really out there. Mm-hmm. We would occasionally get handwritten documents delivered, which I would call possibly manifestos. There were some wackadoodles out there. Anyway, we got this like voice to text message once, because obviously we only had a landline in the office.
Right.
So they'd obviously text that number and it comes through in like an automated robot voice. And I didn't listen to it. Somebody else listened to it, and then it got accidentally deleted. Well, they wanted to replay it, but it got deleted by accident. And they couldn't make out what it was. It was lots of, like, you know, weird phrases that didn't make sense. And then my colleague said to me, this person said they were going to drop some anal bombs on you. Right? Now, they took that to mean farts.
Right, okay.
When they told me this story, I said to them, they said anal bombs, right? Not nail bombs. And a look of fear came over them, because there's a very clear procedure for dealing with bomb threats when you work for a big organisation.
Yes.
And it is not tell your colleague a couple of hours later and laugh about it. And so I said, it definitely wasn't nail bombs, right? And they this look of fear came over, like, should we tell someone about this? And so she like rang somebody and was like, if somebody called up and we're not sure whether they said anal bombs or nail bombs, what should we do? And so we didn't.
The idea is from the other end of the phone going, let me check the manual.
This went up the chain of command in this kind of, we're not sure if we've had a bomb threat kind of a way, to the point at which when it got to the person at the top, they were like, why has this taken all day to get to me? They called the police and this person was spoken to and it was determined that there was no threat.
Okay.
Which I think means they said anal bombs. But then we got told off. Our entire bomb threat procedure was, you know, had to be reevaluated because they were mad at us, because they were like, if somebody calls up and threatens you with a nail bomb, it shouldn't take 5 hours to report. But we, the whole time, were honestly like, oh, it's probably nothing, sorry. That just made me think of that.
Do you remember the bomb scares in Canterbury when we were still living there? Because we had... I remember one was outside the cathedral gates, and I worked at a shop not too far up from that at the time. And there was a lot of commotion, a lot of hubbub. And then one of our staff, I think, had a second job at a shop a lot closer. And they came past, and basically they said, oh, yeah, they're shutting all the shops. And I was like, great, half day off. You know?
Yeah, you're like, don't care what happens to Canterbury.
No, we were literally on the edge of the cordon. So they're like, no, you can stay open. We're like, okay, so if a bomb goes off there, everyone shopping here will be perfectly fine.
Yeah, that's how that works.
So anyway, Liz, enough about bomb scares and arses.
Well, I thought, honestly, when we started with It's a Wonderful Life, I thought this was going to be a festive episode. Well, that didn't really last. Speaking of festive episodes, we will be doing a special festive episode, won't we?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't think we've decided what it is yet.
No, we haven't decided. We haven't picked yet. We've got a few contenders.
We've got contenders. We're thinking about it, yeah. But look out for that.
Yeah, keep an eye out for a Christmas episode, which will be coming out closer to Christmas.
Coming out around Christmas, yeah. I would imagine.
Yeah, we might put it out in February just to shit people up.
I don't think we will do.
No, this week it is a pitch battle. So, we've done a few different pitch battles lately, Liz.
Well, what we're doing this time is you told me that you wanted to pick something.
Yes, I did.
And I said, that works, because the thing I want to pick, I always mix the titles up.
Okay, so this is a confusion pitch battle this week.
Pitch battle confusion. So you tell us what yours is.
Okay, well, mine is Hey Arnold. Classic Nickelodeon animation, ran for quite a few series, a couple of movies, spin-offs on this. Not spin-offs, a couple of movies. But, you know, it's one that I remember watching as a kid. I remember it fondly.
Do you?
Yeah, I get contacted almost every week by one person who wants me to pick it every single time.
Really?
Yeah, it's quite frequently requested. And to be honest, from what I remember, excellent show. I remember always feeling like quite a cool cartoon as well, because it's set kind of in like New York, sort of Brooklyn kind of feel, I think, to it. You know, there's like a jazz element to it. A lot of it takes place at night.
A jazz element to it.
Yeah, there's like
I haven't revealed my feelings on it, but I think people might be able to guess.
Well, I always feel like there were at least a couple of episodes around sort of jazz.
Yeah, I can imagine one of them with a saxophone.
Yeah, but I think even like the opening credits, like it's all kids out after dark, you know, in this neighbourhood and yeah.
Is he got like a rugby-shaped head? Is that him?
It's a football-shaped head. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
They called him like football head or something.
I'll be honest, I'm not sure I've ever seen a full episode.
Okay.
I utterly hate it.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. You didn't know that, did you?
No, I was not expecting that strength of feeling.
Do not like.
I should have expected that strength of feeling for something you've self-confessed never seen a full episode of.
Listen, right? I know people out there are like, oh, how do you know you don't like it if you've never watched it? Right. If I get the vibe that I'm not going to like something, why would I sit down and watch it? It's crazy talk. Everybody does this. Everybody sees things, goes, oh, do you know what? That doesn't seem like it's for me. Don't like it.
Yeah,
everybody does this. It's a normal part of the human experience. So don't give me the, how do you know you don't like it? I haven't eaten dog shit, but I know I don't want to.
And I would. And if you said, well, it didn't seem like for me, so I've never watched it, not my kind of thing, I'd be more there. You just said, I hate it.
Yeah, because I've obviously seen like a trailer for it, or I flicked over and it's been on, and it's just instantly rubbed me the wrong way. Don't like it. Don't want it to be on my television. Get away.
Okay.
So we might be watching that.
I mean, I think it's a good cartoon. I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Oh.
What's your pick then? What do you always get this confused with?
I don't get it confused.
Okay.
What it is it's called Hey Arnold, right?
Yes.
The show I want to pick is called Arthur.
For the benefit of the listeners, you just had to look down at your notes just to confirm you were saying the right title.
I always want to call it Hey Arthur, right? Mm-hmm. Because yours has got hay in the title.
Yes.
But mine has hay in the theme tune, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It's all about saying hey.
Yes.
I said hey. We all said hey. Something like that, right? So I always call it Hey Arthur. It's not called Hey Arthur.
No.
It's Hey Arnold.
Yes.
Which shouldn't even be getting in my head because I don't like it and I never watched it. What I did watch was Arthur, which I think is a good show.
Now.
You don't like Arthur.
I do not like Arthur.
Why? What have you got against Arthur?
I'll tell you what it is. Arthur is for dorks.
Oh! You're coming in strong.
Yeah, sorry.
You know we're married, right?
Yep.
You're married to a dork.
So are you. No, Arthur's just like... The thing is, I think it was aimed for like very young children in that way.
Yeah.
And it's just for... I mean, look at the characters. They're wearing, like, chinos.
They're not wearing chinos. Arthur wears jeans.
Yeah, he wears jeans, but then he's wearing, I don't know, some kind of shirt and a pullover over the top. He looks like a nerd.
You literally wear that every day.
Yeah, but I wear it with a bit of edge.
You do not.
I wear it for work.
Can I just say, you're the least edgy person I know.
That is a fucking outrage.
You are entirely smooth, circular lines.
this like is an outrage.
A big, cuddly teddy bear who wears a jumper over a shirt.
Okay, this is true feelings coming out now, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm sorry.
This is all because I said your show is for dorks.
Yeah, it is, actually.
Which it is.
But it's fine if it's for dogs. It's for young kids. It's not for dogs. It's for young, young children, right? We're the idiots that go back and watch kids' shows. We can't complain that they're made for you and they're not edgy enough, right? You're not edgy. You might have been edgy at one point. That edge is rubbed smooth, right?
I've still got some edge.
I'm sorry to tell you this.
I'm not irrelevant.
No, I get what you're saying. It's not an edgy show, but I don't want it to be edgy. I just want it to be good, and I think it's a good, watchable show.
See, now I think it's always struck me as boring and yeah,
boring.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, sorry. No, it struck me as just boring, just dull, just what, not.
Do you remember any of the characters?
Arthur, obviously, who's
brilliant.
Some kind of animal.
He is an aardvark.
Right, okay. Then there's his friend.
Because Arthur, he doesn't really look like an aardvark, I'll admit. But basically, he's from a book. So it's been running on TV for years, since the 90s. It's still going.
Mm.
But he was from a book originally. And the first ever book, right?
Right.
Has him looking very different. Looks exactly like an aardvark.
Okay.
Big, long snout.
Yep.
And that book is about, you don't have to, because he's concerned about his big, long snout, but that is about you don't have to change your appearance to fit in. And which is a very good, you know, message to send to young
absolutely.
Kids.
Absolutely.
But what it does mean is if you don't have to change your looks to fit in, but you do have to change them if you want to be on television.
Oh my god. Let's see. Well, as well as Arthur the aardvark, in inverted commas, he had a bunny who's a best friend.
Yes, his best friend is a rabbit called Buster.
Yeah, he's a loser.
Love
he's
Buster.
A whining little bitch.
No, he isn't. We like Buster.
He's got
I like
a little
Buster.
Sister, Francine. Is it?
No, his sister is called DW.
Right, okay.
But his friend is called Francine.
Okay.
She's probably my favourite. She's spunky.
Right, okay. I can't remember so much. One of the teachers is a rat.
One of the teachers, I guess he's probably a rat.
Or at least he has a rat-like snout.
Mr. Ratburn.
Yeah, Ratburn. That, yeah, well, clues in the name, yeah.
Yeah. No, I like him. I think he's a cool teacher. He's a cool dude.
I don't think anyone here is a cool dude.
Oh, but Hey Arnold is just so cool with the jazz.
Yeah, Hey Arnold's got cool characters in it. Ugh. He lives in a melting pot of a building. You know, he lives in like a loft.
He lives in a loft?
Yeah, like one of those attic lofts, you know,
like
with
a New York loft. Yeah, I get it. I'm not thinking it's cool.
He hangs out with like a, you know, like a Dean Martin type like singer at one point. There's like, yeah, there's a washed up like Dean Martin. Like, there's a whole episode I remember where
He hangs out with washed up Dean Martin, and this is what's cool about it.
That's cool. That's cooler than a rat as a teacher. It's cooler than kids who constantly hang out with their teachers.
They don't constantly hang out. They're at school.
Show me the stuff outside of school.
And there is stuff outside of school.
Yeah,
plenty of stuff.
Still turning up.
I can't believe you. I can't believe you. You're looking for holes in what is a very nice show.
I think it's just a bit too. Yeah, it just always struck me as dull. As a dull kid show. You know, I mean, even the sort of, you know, I always do this, the intro music is memorable. This kind of calypso,
exactly.
upbeat kind of thing.
You love a memorable intro.
I do like a memorable intro, you know, I can't deny that. You've got to have a memorable intro in it, but no, why didn't that? I'm just not there. Not on board with it. Didn't like it as a kid. Don't like it now.
Do you remember Binky?
Was Binky the bully?
He is the ugliest mofo you have ever seen. I don't know what he's supposed to be, honestly.
Okay.
I want to watch it and find out what he's supposed to be.
Well, I mean, hopefully the people will vote for it, Liz, for your sake, because to be honest, I think a lot of people will agree with me that this is an exceptionally boring, boring show.
I've just Googled it. He's a bulldog.
Okay, that's not what a bulldog looks like.
No, not at all, is it?
I mean, what he looks like there is one of the Monster Munch characters.
Yeah, he looks like a Monster Munch.
He does. He looks like the roast beef Monster Munch.
To be fair,
but yellow, right, not pink.
I've just Googled him, and when you say it's the show's a bit square, mm-hmm, right? Binky Barnes is an anthropomorphic bulldog and usually wears a long-sleeved orange pecan button-up shirt, dark blue slacks, a light blue belt buckle, and brown loafers.
Right, okay, he's wearing slacks and loafers. And he's meant to be the tough one.
He's the tough one.
Name me one tough man who's ever worn slacks and loafers.
I don't like tough men, right? I don't want anything tough. What I want is niceness. It's for kids. I want it to be nice. Everything's about being happy, making friends, being good to people. I don't want it to be about washed up Dean Martins.
See, no, I think you've got to show kids the rougher side of life. You've got to expose.
Washed up Dean Martin is the rougher side of life.
That's one example of the rougher side of life. There's another point where I think he's robbing stuff with his grandmother's burglarising people.
His grandmother burglarises people?
Yes, I think so.
This is a terrible show for kids. The children should not be allowed to watch this.
All right, Mary Whitehouse.
Oh, don't make me watch it.
It's not my choice. It's down to the people, Liz. It's down to the listeners to tell us who they think we should watch next.
They're going to watch yours, aren't they? Because it's edgy.
No guarantees. No guarantees. I mean, you know, people, you know, I there's no guarantee of that. Maybe people really like Arthur.
Have you ever had a request for Arthur?
No.
Okay, maybe they don't really like it, Will.
But, you know, maybe there's different strokes. Maybe you never know. You never know how people... We can't tell how people are going to vote, Liz. We just can't tell. You know, last week was so close.
I know, it was
razor thin. We don't know.
I haven't won for a long time.
It's been fair. I mean, I'm riding pretty high on my win streak at the moment. I'm pretty happy.
I'm not entering into this with any confidence, but I genuinely think it's a good show and that we should watch it. But I also am prepared to get absolutely battered in the voting.
Well, I mean, I think, Jimmy, is what I would say is, I think Arthur, I nearly called it Hey Arthur.
I know, it should be called Hey Arthur, and Arnold should just be called Arnold.
I think Hey Arthur's had potentially
bigger... No, it's Arthur.
Arthur, I think, has had a bigger cultural impact. I mean, it's run for a lot longer. You know, when one of the teachers came out in most recent series, there was, you know, it was reported like all over the place.
Yes, one of the teachers is gay.
Yes.
See, there's a bit of edge for you.
That's a perfectly acceptable, you know, thing to happen. And it was
not according to some Americans.
Yes, not according to some conservative Americans.
No, they didn't like it.
They did not like that this child's cartoon now featured a gay character.
No, exactly.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I think
arguably of more use to children to see that than to see a washed up Dean Martin type.
Stop fixating on the washed up Dean Martin type.
That's all you've given me. I don't remember the show.
Oh dear. Well, hopefully people will vote for it and we will rectify that. So those are the choices before you. You can either have my pick, the cool urban Hey Arnold, or Liz's pick,
the nice, sweet, cuddly world of Arthur.
So there's the picks. So get onto social media. Let us know your choice. We'll be back next week with the episode. Until then, Liz, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. And we'll be back soon.